Bibles, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23 once again. Leviticus in chapter 23. For the past 2 weeks, you remember, we have been considering the seven feasts, been reviewing those seven feasts that God scheduled through the Jewish calendar. And you remember that in the beginning of this study, we saw how that the Jewish calendar was naturally tied, first of all, to the rhythms of the season. It's a lunar calendar, like is used in the Orient even today. But also their calendar was to give a picture. It gave a picture of the Jews' future. And it showed their future concerning two main points. First of all, it showed the work and the ministry of their Messiah. That was all seen in those feasts that they would observe. So they saw the future work and ministry of their Messiah, but they also saw in that the course of their national history. And we're going to get into that a little bit even this evening. So far, we have seen four of those seven feasts. We began with number one, the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover. And you remember that was held on the 14th day of the first month. This was a feast that commemorated God's great deliverance. It was a feast that commemorated how that Israel had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. But then we saw how that this feast not only pictured what God had done for Egypt, it also pictures what Jesus Christ has done for us, as the perfect lamb that was slain, and how that when his blood is applied to the door of our heart by faith, that we receive that wonderful gift of salvation. So it pictured what God had done for them in the past, pictured what God would do for them in the future. And then we saw the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You remember the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It started on the 15th day of the first month. And this was a feast that actually lasted for 1 week. It lasted for 1 week. This feast began, you remember, with a house cleaning. They cleaned all of the leaven out of their houses, and then they would only eat bread that was unleavened for that whole week, that whole period of 7 days. And we saw how that in the Bible, you remember, leaven is always a picture of what? Sin, right? Leaven is always a picture of sin. So we saw how that then this feast pictured how that after being delivered from Egypt, God desired that his people should be a holy people. In fact, that's what Leviticus is all about. God wants them to be a holy people. His desire is that their sins would be put away, and they would not walk after the ways of the Egyptians that they had learned during their years of bondage. But not only that, this feast also pictured the sinless perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It pictured the sinless perfection, the holiness, and the holiness that he would expect from us as followers of him. So there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There was then, number three, the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. And the purpose of this feast was to dedicate, to consecrate those first gleanings or the first fruits of the barley harvest. But not only was this a time of giving thanks, but it was also a picture. It was also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he would be the first to be raised from the dead, you remember, the first fruits of those who sleep, the Bible tells us in the New Testament. And so this feast pictures the resurrection of Christ. And then there's the Feast of Pentecost, number four. This feast came 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. And the purpose of this feast was to dedicate, it was to consecrate the whole harvest that had been harvested. It was to dedicate all of it to the Lord. But there was more. This was also a picture of the future ministry of the Holy Spirit. It would picture the future ministry of the Holy Spirit as he would come for the purpose of molding Jew and Gentile into one body. He would mold Jew and Gentile into one body, the church, and then also he would come to empower all believers so that we might live a life of victory over sin, and so that we might be the witnesses for Jesus Christ that we ought to be. So these first four fruits, they all took place during the first 3 months of the Jewish year. They all took place within those first 3 months. But then after a period of about 4 months, we come to the seventh month. And in the seventh month, we find the three final feasts that were to be observed. And that's what we're going to see as we finish up our study in this chapter. Number five, there is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll begin reading now in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work, that is, manual labor therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So the seventh day of the week was a Sabbath day. The seventh month of the year was a Sabbath month. It was a Sabbath month. And the Sabbath month began with the blowing of trumpets on the first day of the month. Go back with me to the book of Numbers, or go over to the book of Numbers. In chapter 10, verse 1 to verse number 3, we find some instructions that are going to be pertinent to what we're looking at now. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver," two trumpets, "of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And as you go on and you read down through the passage, verse 5 to verse number 8, when these two silver trumpets were sounded, it was to call the people together. In verse number 9, these two trumpets would sound to announce the fact that an enemy is coming and there's about to be a war. In verse number 10, we find that it was also used to announce a day of gladness. These two trumpets would be sounded. But now when we come to the New Testament, we find that there is coming a day of gladness. There's coming a day of gladness when the toils of this life are going to be ended. There's coming a day of gladness when the toils of life are going to be ended, and we're going to be caught up to be forever with our Savior in the place that He is preparing for us. And just like in the days of Moses, this day of gladness is going to be introduced with the blowing of a trumpet, singular. The blowing of a trumpet, singular. Now, how does that fit with what we just saw? There's two trumpets, but now we have one trumpet. Is there a problem there? And actually, there is not. The one trumpet, it's identified for us, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and verse 52. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." That's not Donald Trump, okay? At the last trump, singular. At the last trump. "For the trumpet, singular, shall sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed." We find the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 17. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump," singular, "the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, again, there's the difference. Two trumpets, Old Testament, one trumpet, in the New Testament. But I want you to notice that there is something in Numbers chapter 10, verse 4, that we need to pay close attention to. And here's what it says. "If they blow," okay, two trumpets. We've seen what those two trumpets were sounded for. "But if they blow," Numbers chapter 10, verse 4, "if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. In other words, when two trumpets sounded, everybody came. Everybody. But when only one trumpet sounded, it was just the princes who were called. Now that raises a question. What is a prince? Somebody tell me. What is a prince? Say again. It's the king's son, right? That's the prince. It's the king's son. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the sons of the king. We are the sons of God. Therefore, we are princesses. The Bible tells us, John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So this Feast of Trumpets, it signaled the beginning of the seventh month, or the Sabbath month. But not only that, it gave a prophetic picture. It gave a prophetic picture of that day when the final trumpet of God is going to sound. And all of his princes and all of his princesses, you ladies can go too, okay, are going to be gathered together in our heavenly home. That's going to be a wonderful day. That'll truly be a day of gladness, don't you think? It'll truly be a day of gladness. Now, after the Feast of Trumpets was observed on the first day of the seventh month, we find that just nine days later came number six, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And we dealt with this before back in Leviticus chapter 16. And we saw the preparation of the priesthood, how that they had to, for this Day of Atonement, they had to be properly washed. They had to be properly clothed. They had to be prepared for it. And then we saw the offerings of the priesthood, how that he had to bring offerings, first of all, for himself. And then he also had to bring offerings for the people. And then we saw the exaltation of the priesthood, how that they would exchange their robes of service for robes of glory. It's kind of like when I was in the Army, you know, we would wear these grungy fatigues is what we called them. I forget now what they call them. They have some initial utilities or something. Anyway, we had to wear these old fatigues, you know, and all that. But when we were getting ready for something special, we got to put those off and we got to put on our dress uniform, you know. And that's exactly what these priests did. They would set aside their work clothes, if you will, and they would put on their robes of glory. And all of this was to come from a right heart attitude. It was to come from a right heart attitude. See, it is possible to do the right thing and to do it in the wrong way. It's possible to do something that is actually good, but we do it in a way that makes the good become bad. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? And so it has to come from a right heart attitude. And that was the main emphasis that we find now being dealt with in our text. Look at verse 26 and verse 27, Leviticus chapter 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Skip down to verse 32. In the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even. Now, you remember the Jewish day started in the evening, right? It started at about 6 o'clock p.m. And so their day didn't start at midnight, started in the evening. And so what it's talking about here is just a whole day. It's from even to even. It's a 24-hour period. Shall ye celebrate your Sabbath? For a whole day, you're to celebrate the Sabbath. And so the feast was from the evening of the ninth day until the evening of the 10th day. And during that period, we find two things. First of all, they were not to work. They were not to work. Leviticus 23, 28. They're not to work. And if they did work, they would be cut off from their people. In other words, it was a serious thing. They would be cut off from their people. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. And so because of the serious consequence, the command is given in verse number 31, ye shall do during this period, ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Now, the reason why they were not to work, the reason why they were not to be involved in any kind of manual labor, was so that they might give their complete attention to the next point. Because you see, not only were they not to work, but they were, letter B, they were to afflict their souls. See, they're not to work so they don't become distracted from what is really important. The whole importance of this Day of Atonement is the afflicting of their souls. Verse number 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. Now, we've learned before that the word afflict, it simply means to humble. It means to oppress. In other words, the Lord God is commanding the people that they should get serious about dealing with their sin. They need to get serious about putting away their sin. They need to honestly, humbly examine their hearts. As the psalmist said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And so they're to get serious about this thing. They're to afflict their souls, put away their sin. But as a nation, biblical history records the tragic story that Israel failed to judge herself. She failed to judge herself. She continued in her rebellion. She continued in her wicked ways and walking contrary to the laws of God. And therefore, you know what happened. As a nation, Israel was set aside. Israel was set aside. And while there are certainly individual Jews who are being saved today, and praise the Lord for missionaries who go to Israel, it's a very difficult, from everything I've heard, it's a very difficult field, a very dangerous field. But praise the Lord, there are individual Jews who are being brought to faith in Jesus Christ. But as a nation, Israel is still being afflicted by God. They're still under the judgment of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul deals with this very thing. And on Sunday mornings, we're going to get into it in sometime when we get to Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Paul deals with this very thing about God's people being set aside. God's people being set aside. But that's not all. There is coming a day when Israel and all of those who have rejected Jesus Christ, They're going to be afflicted. It's a future thing. They're afflicted now, yes, but that's not the end of it. There's a future affliction that is coming. The Lord Jesus described it in Matthew 24, verse 21, when he described it as a time of great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. You read about it. It's described in Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 18. That period of great tribulation, it's going to last for 7 years. And it's what John in his vision saw and recorded there in his prophecy. But it's going to be a terrible time that Jesus said, never been anything like it before. And there'll never be anything like it again. A time of terrible affliction. Bottom line, Israel had a choice. They could afflict themselves and make themselves right with God, or they could stubbornly continue in their own way, and God would afflict them. By the way, we have that same choice today as well. We have the same choice today. So this Day of Atonement, it's the day when Israel would turn from her sins, when she was to turn to the Lord God. But since she failed to do that, the Lord God afflicted her, is afflicting her, and will afflict her. But thank God, that's not the end of the story. There's one more feast. Number 7, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33 and verse number 34, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days. In other words, this is another feast. It's going to last for a period of 7 days. In other words, it's basically from Sabbath to Sabbath, okay? No work is to be done. No work is to be done, but sacrifices are to be offered. And you can read the sacrifices that are described, verse 37 and verse number 38 here in Leviticus chapter 23. The sacrifices that God requires are described. But notice Leviticus 23, verse 39 and following. In the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. In the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Remember, I said it goes from Sabbath to Sabbath. So the first day is going to start on a Sabbath. It's going to go all the way to the eighth day, going to end on a Sabbath. Verse number 40, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. So on the first day, Leviticus 23, verse 42, that they were to take trees, that they were to take the branches of palm trees and the willow trees, and they were to take these things and they were to make booths. Same word that we use for tabernacles, tents, dwelling places. And they would take these things, they would build these simple dwellings. They would leave the comfort of their homes, and they would go out and dwell in these booths for 7 days as the Lord God commanded. Now, why did they do that? Why did they do that? Look at verse number 43. That your generations, that means all of the people who come after you, your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, the prophet Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, the prophet Zechariah describes for us the battle of Armageddon. He describes the battle of Armageddon, which is going to come at the end of that tribulation period that we spoke about a moment ago. And concerning that battle, the Lord Jesus himself described it this way in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So what we're talking about now, it's not going to happen until after that tribulation period has been completed. So he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, oh, here it comes, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Now, let me fill in what's going on right now when this happens. The armies of the Antichrist are marching against Israel. The armies of the Antichrist have their mind set to destroy God's chosen people, to cancel out God's promises, and to stop the coming of Jesus Christ to rule and reign on this earth. And just when it seems like God's people are about to be destroyed, that's when King Jesus is going to come. The Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to come with power. He's going to come with great glory. And all of the people are going to wail. They're going to mourn because they realize they have been on the losing side. And King Jesus is going to come. and he's going to destroy them. And then he's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's going to rule over all the nations of the world for 1,000 years. And listen to what the prophet Zechariah says, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, that it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year. Get this. All the nations now, they're going to go up every year. Why? To worship the King. They're going to go up to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because the Feast of Tabernacles was given to the nation of Israel to remind them how that when they came out of Egypt, the Lord God had physically dwelt in their midst in that thing called the tabernacle, right? And now, during the millennial kingdom, they're going to once again celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles because of the fact that Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is once again literally, physically dwelling in the midst of his people in the city of Jerusalem. Wow. The whole prophetic calendar, there it is. There it is. Verse number 44. And Moses, back in Leviticus 23, verse 44, Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. And in these final three feasts, we've seen how that the Lord God reminded Israel not only of what had happened in their past, but again, he's instructing them, he's revealing to them what they have to look forward to in their future. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, you and I are going to be able to have a part in all of these things. We'll have a part in all of these things. Why? Because by faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we have been made heirs with Abraham. We have been made heirs with Abraham. In fact, listen to it. Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, if you belong to him, if you've trusted in him as your Savior, if you belong to Christ, then, the Apostle Paul said, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs. Y'all know what an heir is, right? And heirs according to the promise. So as we close this evening, I have to ask you just one question. Are you ready for the coming of Christ? See, what we've been talking about is not the rapture. What we've been talking about actually culminates with the second coming of Christ when he literally returns to this earth. But you need to remember that 7 years before he literally comes to the earth, he's going to come in the clouds and we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. So are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet him? I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope you belong to him. And I hope that you're living in such a way that when he comes, you'll not be ashamed to stand before him in that day.